Well, let's just start talking, because it's the news, according to me. Yeah, good morning. It is, still morning? I think it's still morning. It's morning somewhere. It is morning. It's 11:05 on a Tuesday morning, November 16th, 2021. I am in the headquarters, the news according to me, headquarters this morning. I'm never sure what to call it. I want to call it the home studio, but my home studio is in my home. This is the real studio where I do the bulk of my work, even though I'm never here lately. Lately, I've been gone all the time. I miss this place. This is, and to me, it just seems like the sound quality is better here. I don't know if you noticed that or not. Everything has been set up here to be, it's a recording studio. So everything here has kind of been set up to be a recording studio, and I think that's why it sounds better. I got all the bells and whistles and buttons and all this stuff here, and I got multiple cups, more importantly, to put stuff in. And I didn't realize how much stuff I got in my cabinet here. I have a well-stocked cabinet of stuff to drink here. I have, not alcoholic beverages. That could add a whole different touch to the show, couldn't it? I suppose. I'm probably crazy enough the way it is. It's a good thing I don't drink, because I would be like a, who knows what? Well, maybe I'd be more normal if I drank. I don't know. I have no idea. So I have this peach tea. It's hot tea. It's just peach flavored hot tea. I think it's kind of an artificial peach. I don't know that it's real peach. I don't know how much of it's real. But it does taste pretty good. If you put plenty of sugar in there, it tastes pretty good. Oh, there's so many things going on. We have the Rittenhouse trial. Apparently, closing arguments have been made by both sides, by the prosecution and the defense. And it's a big mess. It's a big hot mess. Now, this has even divided the left a little bit. For what I think is a good reason. The left has basically taken the side of prosecution. And this is because of a very successful media campaign. There is this impression that Kyle Rittenhouse is a white supremacist. Now, even the president has alluded to that. He didn't come out and call him one, but he kind of did, I guess. He definitely implied that Kyle was a white supremacist. Now, the problem with this theory is that Kyle didn't shoot any black people that night, even though he was attacked by a couple black people that night. The two people who died were white, and the other fellow who was killed, or shot, I'm sorry, shot. The two people who died, and they were limper. The other person who was shot in the arm, because he had a gun in that hand, was also white. Now, there was another fellow. The whole thing is a little bit confusing in terms of who had guns and who shot shots. And there were shots fired at Kyle that night. We can't determine, we can't definitively say that they were shot at him, but there were definitely shots fired. There was one guy who supposedly fired shots in the air as a warning shot. Now, keep in mind, Kyle is running to the police. He's telling everyone who asks him, if he's running to the where he's going, he's running to get the police because he just shot somebody. An active shooter. They kept calling him an active shooter. I thought he was an active shooter. Nobody comes up with that term on their own. This witness, the star witness, who was shot in the arm, that the prosecution star witness. ended up turning into, I thought at one point there's something called a hostile witness. The prosecution, I'm not sure if that's the case in Wisconsin or not. I know in California and some other areas they can, if they witness while they're on the stand, begins to answer questions in a way that makes it real. They realize that the witness has become hostile to the prosecution. They can declare to the judge, "We are now considering this witness a hostile witness." In other words, he's not doing the case. We're actually accusing this guy of things. Well, I thought they were going to go that route. I thought they were going to all of a sudden turn on the guy and call him a hostile witness. Of course, upon cross-examination, when shown the actual video and pictures and stills, he had to confess that he had pointed the gun at Kyle. Of course, that made the prosecution go nuts. However, of course, common form, as soon as he got off the stand, he was ushered into a limousine and taken to the CNN studios, or MSNBC, or whoever it was that was interviewing him. And they said, "Well, now you're here where you can actually relax and tell us your story without having the influence of the court." In other words, you can lie here, is what they're saying. You couldn't lie up on the stand, but you can lie now. You can tell us what you really think. "Did you point your gun at Kyle?" "No, I did not." "Okay, well, good then. We're glad we cleared that up." Because, you know, you had to say that on the stand because you were under oath, but now you don't have to say that now anymore. "And by the way, why did you have a gun?" "Well, you know, because I have a outdated concealed carry permit. So I kept one concealed in my back of my pants." "It's against everything in me to kill someone, but I was going to, you know, I pulled it out to point it at Kyle because he was running to get the police. Because he was an active shooter." How many active shooters do you know? How many people who are committing crimes, shooting, just random shooting people? Do you know? How many cases have there been where the person runs to the police afterwards? This whole thing, and they know it. They knew it on day one. When the prosecution was starting their testimony and they started talking and they had to confess that Kyle didn't go across state lines with a gun. Kyle went across the state line, but he didn't have a gun that he took across state lines. There was a gun charge as well against Kyle because you can't have a shortened shotgun as a 17-year-old, but you can have a long rifle. And guess what? The AR-15 style rifle that he had. Was long enough. He didn't break any laws. There were no firearms charge. The firearms charge had to be dropped because the prosecution that brought it was standing right there when the judge said, "Is it illegal for him to have that gun?" And the prosecution had to say no. He said that I'm dropping the charge. It was a bogus charge from the beginning. It was a lesser charge they thought they could at least get him on. But then the judge was smart enough to say, "Is it even illegal?" "No, it's not illegal." So they had to drop it. So the judge dropped that charge. The only charge left was self-defense. Now, it will be interesting to see what this jury does. Most of the country, including some people on the left, have had to come out and confess. I think Anna Kasparian, who's on the Young Turks, which is an extreme left-wing, like super left, uber left show on YouTube. And they get money from YouTube. They get money from all kinds of organizations. Cenk Uygur is I call him the leftist clown. He is absolutely bought and paid for by radical leftist ideas. And he's part of the group that got AOC and the whole squad. He's behind that. He's He's a part of that whole thing. That money that flows there is from them. They are linked to that group. Now, please understand, all this crazy spending and all the crazy stuff that's going on, the crazy stuff that's, you know, this is all by design. So when you see wacky, crazy stuff going on, printing a whole bunch of money, the gas prices going up, the food shortages and the shortages from things, the shipping, you know, issues that we have offshore. Oh, you know what they've decided that their remedy, their fix now. They figured out a way to solve the problem of these boats being offshore, not being able to get in to unload their cargo. Like there's a record high number of ships now that are waiting to get in. Their solution is to find them. They're going to find them every day that they're out there. That'll get them. They want nothing more than to get their cargo unloaded and get out of here. And here we are fining them now for being there. That'll fix it. Oh, the humanity. So then we have the, you know, the gas prices going up. They're telling us that's a good thing now. Well, that's because demand. This is right out of the playbook. Obama did the same thing, exactly the same thing, back when he was during his administration when gas prices shot up. The saying was, well, it's because that's a good thing because demand is up. And see, they want the prices to go up because people will complain. They're saying, well, then we got to go green because it makes green look more attractive. It makes solar and wind look more attractive when the price is high enough. But obviously the price doesn't have to be that high because it wasn't a year ago. There's not an energy shortage. There's a lack of production. And when asked about production, our energy secretaries said,
that's hilarious. If only I had a magic wand, because OPEC's in charge of all that.
No, we gave it to them. We bowed down to them by stopping our production. We were a net exporter, and we are no longer as of January 15th. Is that when he got sworn in? Was it 15th or 20th? Whenever it was. When Biden got sworn in, that was the first day. On the first day, he was starting to shut down things with regard to the energy sector. Oh, yeah. So we have all this stuff going on. So Kyle, back to Kyle. There's some other things about that stuff I want to talk about, but we'll get there. We'll get there. We got plenty of time today. Time to get everywhere. Going to go everywhere today. Here, there, everywhere. So Kyle is, the jury is now deliberating. One of the things, now I don't know if any of you have seen this, it's kind of a famous picture now of the prosecutor holding this AR-15 up and pointing it in the courtroom. Now, I don't know if the judge would have been allowed to do this or not, but if this guy would have picked up a gun, had his finger on the trigger and pointed it at the, I don't know what his intention was, but he pointed the gun at the jury. I assume he was trying to scare them. See how scary it is to be on the other end of this gun. Well, it's scary because you don't know how to handle it, first of all. And secondly, you should never point a gun, whether it's loaded or not, at anybody. Now, he supposedly had the detective come up and make sure to secure the gun to make sure that it was empty. Now, this whole thing was rehearsed to the hilt. That now, I think it's famous picture. I don't know. It's a very popular picture on the internet. You'll see it all over the place now. He's holding the gun up, got his finger on the trigger, pointing at the jury. If you look carefully, there is another angle of video about this with this whole event when he picks up this gun. And it's more from the front looking out towards the audience, I'll call it, the people who are in the courtroom, the gallery, whatever it's called. He picks up the gun. Now, he also has this water bottle that he has. It's supposed to represent a fire extinguisher, and he drops it for dramatic effect, and it clangs on the floor and the whole thing. But the gun was really the big thing that he wanted to really show in this procedure. So he picks up the gun. He lifts it up and points it at the jury. At that very same moment, there's someone in the front row who stands up, takes a picture of him, and then sits down as he puts the gun back down and hands it back over to his people, and they put it back away. Very well orchestrated and rehearsed, you can tell. This was a theater. The person taking the picture, that picture that you see of him holding the gun up there, it was obviously a pose for the picture, and then he puts it back down. He probably knew he was going to hold that gun up, count to two, and then put it back down. So the guy had plenty of time to take a few snapshots. And then, because the guy stands up, snaps the pictures, and like as soon as he touches the gun, starts to raise it up to him to his shoulder. This guy stands up. He freezes with the gun. The pictures are snapped, and then the guy sits down and he puts the gun back down. You talk about theater. This was it. This was his big moment to have a scary picture of him holding the gun. My guess is, and this is just my thought, knowing how this guy has operated, is that he, you know, in the past, all the other things he's said, I think this was for dramatic effect, but it was also to intimidate the jury. It was to make them feel scared. Oh, that gun pointed at me is really scary. Boy, Kyle. Because his whole thing was Kyle was out there running around pointing his gun at everybody, and that's supposed to be okay. Well, Kyle wasn't pointing his gun at everybody. And then he makes it sound like he was, after he shot the first guy who was attempting to kill him. See, what started this whole thing was that this guy was pushing, he had lit a dumpster on fire, and he was pushing it over to create another fire. I think he was trying to blow up trying to catch a gas station on fire. As he's pushing this dumpster, Kyle runs up. One of the questions this knucklehead prosecutor asks Kyle, he says, well, why were you running over to the, you said you heard a report that there was a fire. Why were you running? He goes, it was a fire, like, because it was burning. That's why I ran, to get a fire extinguisher to go put it out. I wasn't just going to mosey around, go get a cup of coffee, and then come back later for the, you know, to try, because the fire wasn't going to be any less when he came back after. I mean, if it had reached the gas station, he's going to need more than a fire extinguisher. So, I just thought that was good because he kind of acted like, and of course, then the guy had the prosecutor also had to talk about he's played a few times. He has played what is that little war battle game thing that kids play? Tour of Duty. What, I don't know what it's called. Call of Duty. I don't know what it is. Of course, it's in this video game. You're a soldier and you're running around. You're trying to kill the enemy. And Kyle goes, well, it's a video game. It's not real life. You know, you could talk about, my understanding is you played Super Mario, or you were jumping on mushrooms. Do you do that in real life too? Is that something you want to do? Because that's what crazy people do. It's a video game. It's not real life. I mean, it's like he's got a... So the person that he killed was convicted. I'm not just talking about something he allegedly did. This is something, the first guy he killed. Not that this guy deserved to be killed. I'm not saying that at all because of what he did, but I'm just saying that this is the kind of person he is. Had molested four minors. Now keep in mind the people who were shot, that Kyle shot, were all much older than him. One of them was in his 20s. I think another one was in his 30s. And I believe one of them was actually 40-something. Trying to get this kid. And, not kid. I want to back that up. I'm not going to call him a kid because he's not one. Young man. The people who were trying to kill him are punks. They're certainly much more childish than he is. He had more responsibility in his pinky toe than all of them put together. The individual that kept talking about him coming from the hospital, well, he hadn't been coming from the hospital. He was coming from a psych ward. He'd been released. He was convicted of molesting four young boys and raping another one. The other individual was convicted of domestic violence and some other things as well. The star witness, the lone survivor of the shooting spree, the active shooter, as they called him. They were acting like, well, we have to beat him up because he's the active shooter. Well, he's not shooting at anybody now. He's running away, and he's running to the police. If he's running to the police, here's what you do with a guy who's running to the police. You say, okay, I'm running with you. We're going to go to the police together. I'm going to make sure you go to the police. And if you don't go to the police, if you try to take off from the police, then I'm going to try to stop you. Because now you've become a criminal. You're a criminal on the run now. If you believe the guy's a criminal. But if he's running to the police, doesn't that give you kind of a weird kind of a, are you really a criminal? Let's face it. If this jury is intimidated by the threats that they've had, and of course the judge has also had those kinds of threats, then this is going to be one of the biggest miscarriages of justice we've seen in a long time. Kyle's life, by the way, is not going to be ruined. Let me just say this. Regardless of what happens today, because I think that the jury will come back with a verdict today. And if they do, and it's innocent, or if it's guilty, either way, there are people in this country who recognize what's going on here. Kyle will have a job. I guarantee you. He will definitely, he's going to go through some tough times in the next few years. But I guarantee you, people see in this young man, I mean, if I had a business that needed to hire somebody, I'd be calling him. That's the kind of person I want working for me. The other kid that was the star witness for the prosecution, I wouldn't hire that guy in a million years. He's going to be a commentator now on CNN. That's all he's going to ever be. It looks sort of like David Hogg or whatever his name is. So we have that going on. I'll probably have a show later on today. If the jury comes out with a verdict, I will definitely have a show. But now all of a sudden they've got 500 National Guard troops marching into Kenosha. Why didn't they think of that, last time this happened? They had the cops on the perimeter told him not to go into the area. You know, maybe they should. Now, I'm sure those police officers probably, they would have, if they would have been told to go in there and stop this thing, they would have. The problem was they were told not to. They were following orders. And you can't fault them for that. I guess you can't. I don't know. I guess you could. But it'd be kind of stupid to do that. I mean, I wouldn't fault them for any of that. They're just following orders. Now, if they were told to go in there and kill everybody, that would be a whole other story. The problem is destroying people's private property. And this is, there's a guy named Grueler, Watching the Watchers, I think is the name of his website. WatchingTheWatchers.com, I believe. He usually has a couple hours of a live presentation, live show that he puts on about every night, talking about cases. He's a defense attorney, criminal defense attorney. Sharp guy, knows his stuff. I think he might be in Arizona or California. I think he's in Arizona area. That's where he practices. But he has this really good show, and he talks about cases and case law and everything that's going on. He's been diagnosing and dissecting this case. And he's done an excellent job of putting everything together and kind of explaining everything really well. And you can tell he's he does not like prosecuting attorneys, and there's he when he was younger, he wanted to be a prosecutor. And he worked as an intern type thing for a prosecutor and realized what was going on with the prosecution part of it. And he said, this is the wrong side of this thing. It is so slanted towards the prosecution and so, the side that needs help is on the criminal defense issue. People are being railroaded. And we're seeing it, he says it happens every day in this country, and this is what's happening to Kyle. So you have the media, they're still out there pushing this whole thing and saying that Kyle is now they've kind of shifted it over to the gun issue. Because they realize Kyle's probably going to walk. There's really no case here. Of course, there's threats of violence, of course, in the streets. There's going to be fire, riots, fire, and bloodshed. That's great. Because that always solves a lot of problems. And, if you cave into that, then they're just going to do it again. That's the problem with this whole thing. This is kind of like when somebody gets accused of something by a social justice warrior. They get canceled. They come out and apologize. Oh, I'm sorry that I did that 10 years ago. I didn't mean to do that in that tweet. I had a joke about Asian people, and I'm sorry. Canceled. Once they smell blood in the water, you're done. Hey, well. Because nobody, there's no redemption in this thing. This faux righteousness that they push. There's no redemption. There's no grace. There's no mercy. It's not forgiveness. It's just, you're guilty, you're done. And I am here with my blue hair to tell you how bad you are. Because I'm so woke. So, let's talk about China. Some interesting things going on in China. Today, I guess, Captain Biden is going to be talking to China, to Xi, whatever his name is, Jinping, about the climate. He's going to hold Xi accountable. He's going to tell him he's got to behave. Yeah, I think at this point she's just kind of, he's pretty much laughing at Biden, pretty sure. They have been flying over Taiwan. Now, Taiwan's about between 20 and 25 million people, I think. It's about the same population as Australia. Now, it's a much smaller country. It's much denser in terms of people, but it's about the same population. In the Indo-Pacific region, that's what we're calling it now, I guess. We decided to start calling it that. And whoever it was decided that's the proper name now. So we're calling it that. And you know, they've been flying over Taiwan and, you know, intimidating them. They are a democratic, a democracy there, if you want to call it that. They have a democracy. They have elected officials. They have their own government. China is basically claiming them, much like they did Hong Kong. Now, in the case of Hong Kong, they actually had a contract with England that in, I think it was 1999, they took over. The lease ran out, basically, for Hong Kong. And Hong Kong is not mainland China, by the way. It's offshore, much like Taiwan is. But Hong Kong's kind of an island. And they basically, they were allowed to take back over Hong Kong. Now, everybody was saying, oh, it'll be okay because China can't, Hong Kong is much too powerful with regard to their economic situation. That there's no way China will ever take it over. And then, of course, you know, give them some time. The next thing you know, they're squashing protesters in the street and they're taking the whole thing over and it's, you know, it's under military control now. Hong Kong will never be what it was under CCP. But there you have it. So China now is pushing out to Taiwan. They are also building their own land mass out in the China Sea. They have these missiles now that are hypersonic. Surprise! I've talked about that in previous shows. I'm not buying all the political theater there about how surprised we were about it. But that's a whole other story. Russia. This is what I don't get about this story. And by the way, China has told its... let me finish this before, because I'll forget it. I won't go back to it. China has told its people... there's going to be some COVID outbreaks and you need to hunker down and start stocking up food. You should have about 6 months' supply of food. China has never, never told their people to do that. Never. They've told them basically, don't worry, the government has plenty of food for you. Don't hoard your food. In fact, I think it was illegal to hoard food. They're telling their people now to hoard food. Make sure you stock up on your food. Have 6 months' worth of food available. Why would they be telling them that? They are making maneuvers right now, saying and doing things that are prepping them. And here's the theory. I've heard this from several different individuals, and I think this is probably the accurate analysis of this whole situation. The Winter Olympics are going to be in China. I think that they get done in March, possibly. About 6 months from now. They're giving people time to get prepared. And the theory, the speculation, the hypothesis is that right after the Olympics, China will invade Taiwan. They have to wait till that's done. Then they're going to invade Taiwan. That's what they're talking about doing now at this point. That's what these speculators and the commentators, the prognosticators are all saying. And it actually does make sense that they would wait till after that to do that. And they're giving their people, you know, time to prepare for all that. So look for that. There's a lot of money that comes into the country during the Olympics. A lot of funding, a lot of money, a lot of things. So they're greasing the wheels for the one last thing. And then they're going to clamp down and prepare for war. Now, whether or not war, I don't think under this administration, anything they're going to take Taiwan, nobody's going to do anything, a thing about it. Nobody's going to lift a finger. Oh, we're going to be watching you. We're going to clamp down on you. You and that Taliban are over there. We're gonna scowl at you and point our finger if you do something wrong. We're watching you. Now, what are you going to do about it? So, there's China Rising as well. I think there's actually a documentary out right now called China Rising. It might be on Epoch Times or something, or possibly something. I don't know what it's on. So, interestingly enough, this is all happening right now in China. So Russia decides to take out, they have this anti-satellite missile now. And they did a test. They went up and shot this satellite out of the sky. So I guess it's not technically in the sky, it's in the space, but it's up there beyond the sky. And they shoot this thing. Well, and here's the thing. People aren't all upset about the fact that they have this technology. They can shoot down a satellite. That seems to be not even talked about. The thing that everybody's upset about is that they've scattered space junk now all over the place, and it's endangering the space shuttle, or the space station. And there are Russians on the space station. How would you even think about endangering even your own people? That's called expendability. And that's what socialism is all about. That's what they've always been about. They sacrifice anybody for the greater good. Because that's what collectivism is. When you start talking about a society, doing it for the greater society... Well, when the society imposes that you must sacrifice for them, now you have tyranny. If you willingly, voluntarily lay your life down for your society, that's one thing. If you are obligated, forced, compelled, to lay your life down for your society. That's a very different situation. Some would say that the draft is unconstitutional because of that. One of the things that Grueler was talking about, he went into this little sidebar, and he was talking about taxes. And taxes are immoral, but certain kinds of taxes are immoral. There's no question about it. When you, if you go out and you work, you've traded your life for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, to earn a paycheck. You're exchanging your life for monetary gain. The government then comes in and says, well, because you went out and did that, now we can tax you. We're going to tax your income, your exchange of your life for money or whatever you were working for. Maybe you were working, if you barter work for work, they want to get a part of that. And that becomes actually more, probably a little bit more descriptive. When you do that, it actually shows the stupidity of the whole income tax thing. People say, well, how are you going to pay for everything? We can get into that at some point, and we can talk about how that all works. The income tax is a control system. So you take your hard-earned tax dollars, or your hard-earned dollars after they take your taxes out, and you put that in a savings account. And as soon as you save up enough money, you go out and you write out a check and you buy a house. Fully paid for. No bank involved. You bought a house. $100,000. Went out there and spent $100,000, bought a house. There you go. I got myself a house. It's mine. Do what I want to with it. I could put holes in the wall and hang my pictures and nobody, no landlord tells me what to do. Oh yeah, I got to pay my property taxes. Because, you know, somebody's, you know, you got to pay for that. Because you're getting, you know, benefit. So you got to pay for those benefits. So we're going to tax your house. Oh, you're not going to pay your property tax? Well, we're going to take your house away. Wait a minute. I exchanged my life for 20 years and I saved up money and bought this house and now you're going to take it away. Yeah, because it's ours. Because you didn't pay your taxes. And of course, they always say, every time you say anything about taxes, oh, well, but how are you going to pay for roads and bridges and all the stuff and all this and that, schools and fire department and police? Now, granted, most property taxes, at least when they talk about police and fire and schools, that is where most property taxes go, typically in most states. But even when you're talking about income tax, they'll say, well, you got to pay for roads and bridges and schools. And they'll use that for every tax. Now, granted, there's also, mind you, there are taxes on the fuel that you buy. But guess what? That's not enough. Well, because guess what? Electric vehicles don't pay that tax at the pump. They're starting to realize with all these electric vehicles on the road, they have to look ahead and say, hey, everybody's driving electric vehicles. They're not paying the tax for the gas anymore. How are we going to do this? Well, now we need to tax you by the mile. So for every mile you drive. Now, here's a little something about the infrastructure bill that's being signed today, by the way. Joe Biden signs it into law. Was it today or last night? I think it was last night. So the infrastructure bill now, which was not in for infrastructure, not even a third of the money that's in the infrastructure bill. Infrastructure is one thing I don't mind so much that the government is spending it on, if they're actually spending it on infrastructure that actually is needed. Because true infrastructure, if in an honest economy, in an honest government system, actually has a lot of benefit for the society. It is the one thing I can see taxing people for or generating income for, or, you know, for the government to do, if they do it properly and do it, you know, transparent and above board. Unfortunately, that's not the case typically, but that is one thing I can see taxes going to that makes sense. Now, this infrastructure, as they're calling it, there's all kinds of stuff in the bill. Now we have to pass the bill so we can see what's in it, which is exactly what they're doing, by the way. And now we're finding out what's in the bill, now that it's gone through and it's being signed. Here's something that's in there. The media now is finally all of a sudden talking about it. Guess what's in there? Interesting thing. There is a pilot program. That's what they're calling it. It's an introductory tax in a region where they're going to be taxing people for driving on the road. Miles, mileage. For every mile you drive, you get taxed. Not just electric vehicles, also gas-powered vehicles. There is already a tax for every mile you drive, and it's called tax in your gas. It's all included in the price. That's why we don't see it. We don't even see the sales tax. Because you pay sales tax plus all the other taxes that happen in your fuel that you buy for your vehicle. In some states, it's higher than others. That's why some gas prices, even on the borderline, go across the state lines, and gas price is higher than someplace else. I was up in Appleton here the last week. Gas prices were just under $3 a gallon. Most of the time I was there, right when I left, they had just gone just a little over $3 a gallon. Here in my home, northern Indiana here, the gas price, the dollar or per gallon of gas, I think it's like a dollar, it's $3.19, something like that. Out in California right now, it's gone over $5 a gallon in some places. A lot of that has to do with taxes It also has to do with where you are in relationship to where the refineries are. Because it just costs money to transport the stuff, so it's going to cost more. So now they want to tax you for every mile you drive on top of that now. And of course, this is all leading to a situation where, you know, you have driverless cars, or you can, you know, the cars drive themselves. We eventually are going to, in the next, you know, 20 years, nobody, you don't have to own a car. You just have to be a part of the association. And you plug in where you want to go in your little personal device. And a car shows up and takes you there. And of course, all the funds and fees and everything are all included in it. So you don't have to, you won't even see. You won't think about the taxes you're paying for that. It'll take you to your job where you do your job and you do what the government tells you to do, and then you go back home. Or wherever that car takes you to wherever it is that they approve you to go. Now, if you're not vaccinated, they won't allow you to go certain places. Oh, it may not be a vaccination, but it'll be something that they'll control. They'll take you to the grocery store where you can only buy certain kinds of food. They'll take you to the doctor to have you checked out because, you know, you're a part of, you're like cattle to them. You're just productive. Go to the robot factory where you can, you know, continue to maintain and build the robots because they don't have robots to build the robots yet, but they will have robots to build the robots. So at some point, they're just going to have you go to someplace and do coding and code. What are they going to do with you? Yeah, it's leading there, folks. That's this kind of the kind of society that nobody stops to think about. Where is all this going? As they continue to take our rights away and continue to degrade, you know, human life. Where does all this end up at some point? You have to think further down the road. It's not just going to stop at some point. Okay, we've reached utopia now. Everything's fine. That's not going to happen. People don't. They just kind of blindly just keep flying along without realizing where the bus is going. So all this stuff is happening. And I was just talking to I was at this appointment this morning. I was talking to somebody and talking about how the vaccine thing. It's not the mark of the beast. The vaccine is not the beast. It's not the mark of the beast. But is most certainly the spirit of the beast. When you're talking about Austria locking down people who are not vaccinated for 3 weeks, the unvaxxed cannot go anywhere. You're locking them down. Now, if you've been vaccinated, you can go wherever you want. Do whatever you want. Life is normal. If you're unvaxxed, other than that, they probably have mask rules and all kinds of stuff for the vaxxed as well. Because guess what? The vaccine is a failure. It does not keep you from getting or spreading the virus. They're blaming everything right now on the unvaxxed. What they're doing is they're punishing the unvaxxed and they're rewarding the vaccinated so that people will, well, I got to get out of here. I might as well go ahead and get the vaccine. There's no recognition of natural immunity. In fact, there has been a disinformation campaign about natural immunity that goes against every peer-reviewed study. And it's happening mostly in this country is what's happened. If you talk to somebody on the street, most people on the street, one, they believe that Kyle Rittenhouse shot black people in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And two, they believe that natural immunity is not nearly as effective against variants of the Delta virus, or of the coronavirus. The opposite is true. Now, initially, when they came out with the vaccine, they initially had hopes that the vaccine would have a broader spectrum and be able to go against the variants. That has not been what's happened with the studies. All of the studies say the opposite. In fact, they're 7 to 9 times more effective. Natural immunity is 7 to 9 times more effective against the variants, especially the Delta variant. The vaccines have been shown to be subpar. They did not live up to our expectations. We're calling it a vaccine, but it really is not a vaccine. It is something that will keep you from getting as sick and possibly die. So is it helpful? I would say in that regard, yes, it is. But it does not keep the virus from spreading. And in fact, it only protects the person who's vaccinated from being more sick. So if a person doesn't want to get vaccinated, for whatever reason, the only person it's hurting is really is them. Now, you could say, well, it's overwhelming the hospitals and it's overwhelming the health system. Let's look at the numbers on that one, too, because that is not true. Here's the way the virus always goes. And this is when there's an area that has an outbreak, it ramps up incredibly fast, and it does put a burden on the health system in the area, on a particular hospital. Because the outbreak kind of happens, and it happens really quickly, and it's kind of overwhelming. Now, of course, now Pfizer has this new drug. I'm going to get into this just a little bit, too. So what happens? Let me just finish this thought. What happens is the virus spreads quickly, ramps up very quickly, gets very intense, a lot of people get it, and then all of a sudden it drops off like a rock. And this happens just about with every outbreak, every time there is an outbreak like this in a particular region. And all of a sudden it just drops off and it's gone. Not gone, but it drops way off. And then another wave will hit. Things change, people are inside, there's a seasonal change, people go to school, whatever's happening. All of a sudden, it'll spike again because, people's lives kind of change and they're running around different people in different places. They're inside more than outside. And it happens again. Now, with this stuff happening, a year ago, basically, they were coming out with a vaccine. Not even a year, really, that this thing's been available. And caseloads are almost as high in some places. In fact, there are some places overseas in some other countries that where they have much higher vaccination rates in their population. And they are now seeing spikes again, and hospitalizations are up. Not just in caseloads. Now, here's a convenient thing. They've just discovered that, we think that maybe there were about 10,000 positive cases that may have been negative. This is in the U.S. in the last couple months. There's actually one manufacturer of a COVID test that has had to recall 2.1 million of them because they were so false positive or negative. They were so inaccurate. Have you heard that on the news? Probably not. So we're getting all these false positives. And that means the cases are going up. That means, we got this outbreak. And so think about this for a moment. Now, all of a sudden, we can take out 10,000 potential positives. And we're going to correct this issue we had with the false positives. So we got all these people vaccinated. So now all of a sudden the numbers go down, which the numbers weren't up to begin with. And again, I contend that I believe just as many people are getting COVID as were before with this vaccine. It's just that they're asymptomatic. They're still spreading the virus and don't know it. That, in my opinion, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a biologist. I wanted to be a marine biologist, and I started looking into that when I was a kid. I was going, getting out of high school, going into college, thinking about college. I wanted to be a marine. I liked biology. And all of a sudden, I realized that it just wasn't for me. And so that's as close as I ever got to being a biologist. But this just seems to me that it's just a breeding ground for variants. An unchecked petri dish, basically. If you're not vaccinated, you will probably have more symptoms and possibly die. Here's the problem with that whole thing, too. Pfizer now has come out with a new pill. If you get COVID, they have a new pill now you can take, treatment. And it's like 100% effective, or 90-some percent effective, according to us. It's way up there. Well, just like the vaccine was supposed to be over 90% effective. This pill now is over 90% effective in treating COVID. Of course, ivermectin has been considered to be a horse pill, horse drug of some kind. But there is actually ivermectin is also a human drug. It's in the human inventory, and doctors can prescribe it. But yes, they also use it for horse parasites, that kind of thing. There's a doctor who looked at all the way, how he took apart basically the way this new Pfizer drug works and what it does in terms of blood proteins and how it breaks them down, and it does all the stuff that it's supposed to do. And he very astutely concluded that it does exactly what ivermectin does, except ivermectin actually does a better job of it. And in fact, ivermectin actually works on variant, has a broader scope of what it can do. Both of them have to be administered properly. In other words, at the right time in diagnosis. It can't be too late in the disease, which is very similar to the hydroxychloroquine issue. The doctors who knew what they were doing, and it wasn't just people out there buying it and taking it, but it was the doctors who knew what they were doing with hydroxychloroquine, and they were able to treat it and administer it properly, because it's a combination of things, and that's the way the Pfizer drug works as well, too. Ivermectin is the same way. It works with different other things. You have to have the ivermectin plus other things, kind of a Z-Pak type thing, and all kind of whatever it is that they put with it. It's kind of a cocktail of things. But it has to be done early on the onset of COVID. There's a doctor who was simply using hydroxychloroquine, treated, I think, 3,000 patients, I believe, in his practice alone, not a single one hospitalized. And this gets no, and here's the problem. Ivermectin, 6 cents a pill. Remdesivir, for a series of treatments, about $6,000. This new pill from Pfizer, I believe it's $120-some or something per pill. 6 cents, $100. You do the math on that one. Why do you suppose the biggest lobby in the world, the pharmaceutical companies, would have the government pushing that pill and squashing the 6 cent pill? Now, if you look at CNN, MSNBC, a lot of news organizations, how much Pfizer and the parent companies and subsidiaries of those companies sponsor news media, the lobbyists that have certain politicians in their pocket, if you don't think money's playing into this, then you're blind as a bat. And you're following along with narratives that people are giving you that are completely wrong. They're just flat out lying to you. You can't watch that segment with Joe Rogan and Sanjay Gupta and not see what's going on. He's sitting there reading to him papers from the reports, these peer-reviewed studies, and Sanjay can't even comprehend what Joe is saying to him. He's trying to trying to twist it into what he wants to, what he thinks he should be hearing. And it's absolutely, totally opposite. No, he's like, no, he has to stop him, pull him back, go, no, no, this is what it says. This is, you're trying to take it somewhere else. That's not what it's, you're trying to take it somewhere where it's not saying what it's saying. You're trying to put words in their mouth, basically. He was so biased because he's had this narrative in his head for so long. So that's where we are today, folks. Now, I will be astutely keeping my ear to the ground. I have some other things I need to do today, but I'm going to be keeping my ear to the ground in terms of what's going on with the whole Kyle Rittenhouse thing. My guess is that Kenosha will be a hotbed of issues tonight. The media, of course, will be telling us one thing and be something else that'll be going on. And I blame them for having drummed up some of this stuff as well. In the meantime, I'd like to thank all of you for listening and thank you for sharing and downloading this podcast. And to keep praying for our nation. I really need to finish my book, writing my book. God bless everybody. Have a great rest of your day.